afternoon. So today, Abed Al Ahmed is presenting at the Water Seminar, and Abed Ahmed is a currently a visiting scholar here, and he's from the University of Khartoum. And he's presenting his research on understanding inequality of opportunity in China in Sudan.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. So first, I would like to thank WIDER for inviting me for this visiting scholar program. So my topic is about understanding inequality of opportunity in child health in Sudan. So my presentation will go through this outline: introduction, motivations, objectives, nutritional situation in Sudan, conceptual framework, methodology, data, preliminary results, and finally, conclusion. So the issue of child health inequality in child health is very important and very crucial in development economics, and receive much debate or much attention in development economics in the last decades, because health and nutrition during the child first years are crucial to his health and well-being later in life. So poor health or inadequate nutrition in the first 3 years of life hamper or negatively affect child cognitive and physical development. So according to many reports, any shortage in food, nutrition, and health cannot be compensated later. So this is very important age or stage in the life of the children. So this leading to adverse health, productivity, and also affecting well-being outcome that persist into adulthood. So any problem or any shortage in nutrition or health problem, this will affect the labor outcome in future and also affecting the economy and the well-being when become adult. So any developmental shortage that happen in the early childhood may be resistant to and permanent. This is the problem of child health nutrition, or any shortage or any problem in child health. So for this reason, the issue is very important in development economics. So the motivations of my research is Sudan is the third largest country in Africa with huge agricultural resources. Also, we have minerals, gas, oils. But unfortunately, poverty and food insecurity, this is a big problem in the country. So in particularly, child malnutrition is a widespread phenomenon in the country. So moreover, the inequality in access to public service like healthcare, education, and clean water also is a problem. We have problem of inequality, horizontal inequality in distribution of public service like water, like health, education in among region or across region in the country. This definitely affect the child health, because as we will see, child health will affect mainly by circumstances or the endowment of where the child reside or where the child born. So the issue also of child, we have a very big children population in the country. Like according to available statistics, like more than 40%, or actually like 42%, I think last 2018, 42% of total population are under age 14, and about 15% of the total population between 0 and 4. So I think this is very big population or segment of population need more attention on the issue of development and health. So firstly, I will give or provide some nutritional situation in Sudan. So focusing on three indicators, malnutrition indicators, which are stunting and underweight and wasting. So stunting, which measure the head for age, the head or the the links for age, and underweight measure the weight for age, and finally the wasting measure weight for head. So this is very important indicators. So based on the WHO, So we measure that by Z score, the deviation from the mean. So now if you look at the national level, we found that about two-fifths, like 38.2 of population under 5 age are stunted. And this is very big. So also for underweight, like third of the population in the country are underweight. And like 16 or about one-sixth of the population under 5 age are wasting. So when we compare between rural urban or rural urban, also the problem we have seen that there is disparity between urban and rural, and the malnutrition problems are more, as we see, in urban area, because there are poverty, there are food insecurity, and this, I think, there is justification for that. But you see, the malnutrition indicators are higher than national level for all, for stunting, underweight, and wasting. So when we see this nutrition across the regions, we have like 6 regions in Sudan. Khartoum, this is the capital, so reported very low malnutrition because this is more urbanized area in the country. But the other regions, like for example, Eastern and Darfur, reported high malnutrition indicators. It means that there is a severe problem of malnutrition in this area. Maybe this according to insecurity, there is a conflict in some part like Darfur and Eastern area. And also the poverty in this area are very high and food insecurity. So this also tell us there is disparity in child nutrition or in child health in Sudan or across region in Sudan. So when we look at these indicators across gender, also we see a small variation between males and females. But maybe the good reason or good news here, the males or female has better indicator or lower than male, female. So we have gender inequality in all indicators in Sudan, in labor, in education. But I think here female are better than male because they registered low malnutrition problem. So but I think just I say here some studies also in sub-Saharan Africa, they found that males usually they have bad nutrition situations. I don't know, but maybe this also is the area for research. Usually males, they registered bad nutrition compared to female. So based on this background and motivation, my objectives are first measuring total inequality in child health outcome. This is the first. The second objective is measuring the share of inequality, of opportunity in overall inequality. So this is the decomposition of inequality, the second step. So also identifying the contribution of different set of circumstances or the endowment means that the factor affecting child inequality, such as geographic location, parent education, and wealth, to the measured inequality of opportunity. After we decompose this inequality of opportunity, also we decompose the factors affecting inequality of opportunity in order to measure the contribution of every set of circumstances, like location, how much contribute child, parent education, the parent wealth, how much contribute to the inequality of opportunity. Finally, I did like a very simple simulation for the standardized height and weight for children with the best, the most advantaged and worst or least advantage combination of observed circumstances. Just simulation between the most advantage or the child with most advantage and least advantage in order to see the importance of these circumstances or these factors in child health in general. So, conceptual framework. This paper or this study based on the Romer framework for inequality, which emphasize the difference between inequality of opportunity and inequality of outcome. So Romer, who provide this seminal work, I think 1998 and 2002. So according to Romer, inequality of outcomes is primarily due to two factors, set of factors. The first one is individual efforts, which is morally justifiable. I think it's clear, means that everyone, if he do more harder, for example, he get more, like worker, for example. This, no problem with this. This is efforts. The second one is circumstances, like family background and parental education, which are unmorally justifiable or unacceptable, because in this case, individual has no control over. It's beyond the control of individual, or mainly we focus here on child, because when we apply this for the child, we see, for example, there is inequality due to parent background, ethnicity, religion, or difference of residence place, for example. These factors the child has no control over, which is beyond the control, which is unacceptable. So all observed health inequality in child health inequality would be inequality of opportunity. This will tell us more the child health production function. In order to understand more the inequality of opportunity in child health, we follow the Grossman and Strauss and Thomas. This function, which here as we see H, the health outcome, depend on many factors, including first the health inputs. Health inputs like quantity and quality of food, for example, family background, like for example, parental wealth, parental education. Also public service like access to water, access to sanitation. And finally, this is a standard error, also including variation in health or genetic variation in health, plus unobservable variables. So if we look at this function, we know that all these variables or these factors are beyond the control of the child or over the control of the child. So child has no responsibility or is not accountable or for this variation in circumstances like, for example, health inputs, quality of food and quantity of food, because this is the responsibility of the parents. Also, child parental education, this is out the control of, I think it's clear the idea here, because for example, the variation, if the child belong to poor households, okay, is not like a child belongs to rich households in terms of endowment. So this will affect his future, also will affect his child, his health. Also child reside in urban area is not like that reside in rural area. So this is out of control of the child. So from here we can say that inequality of opportunity is mainly due to circumstances that the child life, for example, around us, like parent education, parental wealth, okay, like sanitation, public service, some of it like also genetic variation in health. Maybe his parent is very tall or his father is tall, also this affect his height, for example. So these all factors are over the control or beyond the control of the child. This our conceptual framework. Based on that, the methodology goes through this step. First, we compute the standardized anthropometric indicators of child health outcome, namely height for age and weight for height. So here I'm using two outcome variables, which is height for age and weight for height. We know there's other the third one, which is the weight for A, but I'm not going to use it because there is correlation between head for age and weight for age. Just we use head for age and weight for hate as outcome variable, which are indicators for health of the children. So first, I would like, I am going to standardize, according to available literature, the actual measures of height and weights will not give the actual result or the appropriate result. It should be standardized. The second step is to measure the inequality of these indicators, the overall inequality, the total inequality in each one. The third step, decompose these measures into a portion is due to observable characteristics, which is inequality of opportunity, and other residual. So number three, identify the partial effect of each set of circumstances to inequality of opportunity. So I'm going to group these circumstances into groups and to see the contribution of each set on inequality of opportunity. Finally, I did simulation for standardized height and weight, as I said, in order to see the importance of the set of circumstances in height and weight for the children. So the first step, as I mentioned, compute standardized child health outcome. So it's well known that child health and weight grow with age and vary according to gender of the child. So this is one of the problem, because you know child height and weight grow with the age, and also affecting by, it depends on the gender, is it is male or female. So available literature, they using what is called WHO or the World Health Organization reference distribution for healthy children to compute Z scores of the child health and weight. So this is, you know, this is available practice. The WHO has like tables. These tables show the optimal weight and height for the healthy kids, like from one, from the pairs up to 5 years. So they use Z-score, but there is a problem. Z-score is measured by the deviation from the median of the reference distribution measured in standard deviation, okay? But what is the problem here? The problem, the Z-score change the scale of measurement, according to many papers cited in literature. So this Z-score usually lead to problem of change in measurement, and hence alters inequality measures in arbitrary ways. So will change means that it is difficult to follow or to get the right measurement of inequality of opportunity. What should do is we follow the lead literature on child health inequality, Vardahan 2003, to generate standardized height and weight for the variables. There is a formula. The issue is very easy, but here we focus, or we use this, we transform this Z score into standardized values. Just we use 24 months old female with the same Z score in order to standardize all those childs to a standard measure. This procedure allows comparing weight for height across age and sex group. This is the importance of this procedure. So after we transformed our measures into standardized height and weight, the second step is measuring inequality. We know there are many measurements for inequality, like Gini, for example, many in literature, but most of them are not decomposable. So here I'm going to use the generalized entropy measures, which decomposable indices, okay, the tile index or tile. So it has like three classes. When alpha is equal 0, equal 1, equal 2, each one it has measurement, a certain measurement. So I'm going to measure all these classes of tile or classes of general entropy for for purpose of comparison. The second task is decomposition. After we measure the total inequality in health indicators, I'm going to decompose inequality. The next step is to decompose the total inequality into within and between group inequality. Regarding the inequality of opportunity, mainly based on this between group inequality. So between group inequality, this is inequality of opportunity. So this formula of generalized entropy, which is include within and between group inequality. So according to this measurement, between group plus within group, this will give the total inequality. Okay, so I'm focused on between group inequality. Okay, the generalized entropy methods depend mainly on what is called the path of decomposition. So the share of inequality of opportunity, okay, can either be measured directly. So we have two measures, direct and residual. So direct, just based on eliminating what is called within group inequality and focus on between group inequality. So from this formula, this gives us between group inequality. Okay, just we divide the share of between group inequality over the total inequality. While the second one is standardized distribution, which emphasizes within group differences. So eliminate between group, and finally, which is 1 minus within group inequality. So these are two measures. I'm going to measure direct measure and residual measure of inequality, decomposition. How we can do that? We have two approach. I follow two approach, parametric and non-parametric methods. Just I'm going to use that for the purpose of comparison and robustness check. So to decompose the inequality measure, the study adopts both parametric and non-parametric. So hence we apply three methods here. The first one is parametric, okay, approach, and the second one non-parametric. But in non-parametric, we have two measures. One is called types and the other is tranche. Because types, I will explain that more in the coming slides. So the first one, parametric method. The parametric method, which is straightforward, is based on the regression. So we're going to regress the outcome variable or the outcome, for example, child health on circumstances. And then we can get the smooth distribution, the direct distribution, by taking the predicted value of those, you know, parameters or estimated coefficients, and also we can very easy to find the standardized distribution. So one of the very important advantage, I forgot to say that there is advantage and disadvantage for each one, for parametric and non-parametric. The important advantage of parametric approach is to obtain partial effect of particular circumstance. So it's very easy using parametric by regression. You can decompose or measure the partial contribution of each set of circumstance. This is not applicable in case of non-parametric approach. Just in non-parametric approach, just we can measure the contribution of inequality of opportunity to total inequality of overall inequality. So regarding the non-parametric approach, as I mentioned, it depends on two alternatives. The first one or two partitions, so it's based on the partition in the total population into groups or types. The groups including all, you know, all individuals with identical characteristics, like children with same parent education, with the same parent health, wealth, for example, residing in the same area. So I'm going to partition this population into types, Each type has a similar or identical characteristics, like call it cells, some types. Okay, this is the first one, which is the type. The second partitions or the second partition of population, we divide population into tranche. Tranches inside the type, this type individual exert the same percentile, of distribution of each type. Means that in each type we divided population with the same, you know, like here also this is the close to rumor, the rumor theory of efforts, the same because population or individuals or child, they has same characteristics like reside in a rural area, belonging to rich households, parents with high education, these will be categorized or grouped in a certain, you know, tranche, taken percentiles. So these are two kind of partitioning of data. So also for types and tranche, we can measure the same measurement like direct and residual measurement. The data. The data for this study is based on the multiple indicator cluster survey 2014, which is this is the latest one in Sudan. And this year we have also one should be executed by the beginning of this year, but I don't know by current situation in Sudan can be implemented or not, 2019. So this survey is the national representative, also is a part of broader international household survey designed and implemented by United Nations Children Fund, UNICEF. I think is well known in many countries, they have this mix. So the mix survey includes the all information that we need in our analysis, starting by anthropometric measures like head and weight, for example, for children under 5 years, and contain all information on health, social, economic characteristics of women, children, and other household member characteristics that are needed in our study. So the analysis, the current analysis, focus on children under 5 age. So we, our sample is 12,923 children age less than 5 years. So these are circumstances, yes?
Can I just ask a quick question about the survey design? So that this mix is in the field in 2014. So I'm wondering about how it's sampling those parts of the Sudan that are in conflict at the moment. So Darfur, Kordofan, any of these areas, because there's a risk if they can't conduct the survey in those areas that conflict, which obviously is one of the opportunity variables, might not be captured. How do they
The conflict was after the 2011, but I think in 2014 the country at that time are more peaceful maybe than before 2011. Mm. 2011, the separation of South Sudan. So this makes its focus only on Sudan, not the South Sudan. But right. Darfur is not a problem because this sample is a multi-cluster survey, okay? So it's not a problem, a big problem, I think, because most of people, they are in camps in Darfur, for example. So now also we have 2014 household survey, also during this conflict. But the conflict is very minor now after 2011. So circumstance variables. So these are variables are used in analysis. These are groups, just are group. Each one it has, you know, like parent education, including the education of mothers and fathers, for example, primary, secondary, and so forth for mother and father. So also the second group is parental wealth, okay, the wealth category. geographic regions. We have, as I mentioned, six regions plus urban, rural. Public services like water, you know, toilet, sanitation. Demographic characteristics or demographic factors, including the age of mother, the age, square age of mother, the age of child, okay? And if the child, the child is twin or, you know, is single pairs, for example. So maybe one of the limitations, let's say, there are some characteristics are not available in this survey. So this let us or lead us maybe to interpret our results as lower bound because some circumstances are not available in the data. So we can say that not all this inequality of opportunity is due to available because there are some circumstances are not available in the data. This is the problem. So now we go to preliminary results. So just I am presenting the summary of results. I'm not going to present the what is called the standard error or like estimations, because I am used here. I forget also to say that in measuring inequality, it is difficult to find a standard error, but I use the bootstrapping using a programs in Stata. I am not used the ready stuff of Stata commands. So this took a long time in the analysis. I'm happily laughing because he's loving my bootstrapping. Just give command. So because the already, you know, the ready stuff of Stata will not give the standard errors. So I am used bootstrapping in order to find the standard errors in order to see the significance of each measure here. So each measure here, it has now, I have the standard error and the significance. All, most of them are significant. So these are total inequality. Total inequality in health, we have two, as I mentioned, two outcomes, standardized height and standardized weight for height. So this for Sudan in blue, okay, color. So this is standardized height, which is 0.0116, and this is standardized weight inequality. This is a measure of inequality. So it seems this measure inequality is low, but according to literature in health, this is high, because you know any small variation or any small inequality in health, because this is the health of human being, not like, you know, inequality in income. Inequality in income, you will find, for example, the Gini is high, like 0.4, 0.6, but here is not acceptable in health. So this is assumed is very high. Also, when we compare that with other countries, some studies in other neighboring countries like Ethiopia, Egypt, for example, there is one famous study done by one is called Assad for Arab countries. When we compare my result with him, I found that this inequality in indices are very high. Means that there is a high inequality in Sudan in child health. So also when we see the urban rural, okay, we see also there is high inequality in urban. This in urban is compared to rural. I don't see this is justifiable because inequality in distribution of public service between urban and rural. For this reason, the inequality in urban, in rural, sorry, is very higher than urban area. So also we measure the inequality according to gender. According to gender, as you will see here, there is no slight difference between male and female. Maybe this also confirms the descriptive statistics that we have shown. There are no disparities between male and female. So, but also, as we'll see in the previous slide, the inequality in height for age is higher than inequality in weight for height. And this also is much more consistent with the previous studies. So also inequality of opportunity by inequality of opportunity by regions. This is a total inequality. Yes. This also is inequality by region. We, as we will see in Khartoum, inequality, the more urbanized area, the inequality is low. Also, this confirms the descriptive statistic we have shown. So in some area like Kordofan and Eastern Darfur, for example, the inequality for height is very high. And this also reflects the disparities between regions. So now the second task, which is the contribution of inequality of opportunity. So after we measure the total inequality, this is the share of inequality of opportunity in overall inequality. So as I mentioned, we measure six indicators because we have three estimates. Each one it has direct and residual. So this four, you know, this four parametric residual and parametric direct is very low. So there is a variation according to the method of measurement. So as we will see, tranche measurement give higher inequality. And this also confirms the literature, tranche inequality or tranche method give high measurement of inequality. The second one, which is the type, and the last one, which is the parametric indicators. So also we can say that to some extent the share is high. So the third task is the contribution. After we measure the share of inequality of opportunity to overall inequality, then we decompose the circumstances, each circumstances or each group. Also, we group these circumstances into the five groups: demographic factors, infrastructure, region, wealth, parent, education. So according to standardized height, we'll find that region is the largest source of inequality of opportunity for height. It accounts more than half, 52% of inequality of opportunity in height come from, you know, difference in or inequality in region. The second one, which is, which one? Yes, wealth. The second one is wealth, parental wealth. So also for when we look for weight for head, we find the wealth is the largest contributor to inequality in weight. The second one is region. So it means that the third one is parent educations in both in head and weight for head. So it means that these the three factors like which regions, parental wealth, and parental educations, the largest source of inequality of opportunity in health outcome. While we found that demographic factors, their distribution very low, and also the same case for infrastructure. So finally, this is the last task about simulation of the standardized height and weight. So based on parameters that we estimated, yes, I'm finishing now, it's the last slide. So, yes. After I did the estimation simulation for the most advantages, I mean by most advantage means that the child with most, you know, opportunities, like a child belong to rich households, to more educated parents, reside in urban, in Khartoum, because this is a more urbanized area. His tall is or his length should be like 92.46. While for least advantage, that a child belong to poor household, has no her parent has no education level, for example, reside in very rural area, his tall or his length should be like 79.8 centimeters. So it means that, as we see, there is a variation between the most advantage and least advantage. It means that these characteristics are very important in affecting the health of the child. The same thing for weight for head, but here even the variation is very, very low, because the variation or the inequality in weight also is very low compared to head. So finally, in the conclusion, as I conclude, inequality in child health in Sudan is higher in comparison to neighboring countries. Like when we take example like Ethiopia, Egypt, for example, we have high inequality of opportunity. The estimated share of inequality of opportunity in total inequality is substantial and varying according to the method of inequality, like parametric and non-parametric. Also, there is a difference. Circumstances are found to contribute significantly to inequality of opportunity in child health, specifically parental wealth, parental education, and geographic regions represent the largest source of inequality of opportunity in both head for age and weight for head indicators. So finally, I can say the policy action or policy option for policymaker to reduce inequality of opportunity, these three contribute, the largest contributor, like inequality in wealth, inequality in education also should take more attention. Also, the distribution of surface between urban and rural area or between regions, because there is high inequality between regions. Okay. So, and finally, thank you for your attention. Ketos homeostasis in Finnish. I don't know. Is it correct or not?
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks, Matt.
We go
next question.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks. I think this is really important work and some really important findings. So there is a big literature showing a very strong relationship between conflict-affected countries, conflict-affected regions, and health outcomes. And as I was looking at your findings, it occurred to me that one of the biggest drivers of inequality opportunity is region. And you're measuring, if I understand it right, the region is one of the six major regions in Sudan. So that's quite an aggregated level of analysis. And I wonder, it would be interesting for you to really interrogate what lies behind the contribution of region to inequality of opportunity. And I would bet, given this literature on conflict and health, that if you were to disaggregate region into those areas which either are still experiencing conflict or which have the legacy of conflict, that you might also find that insecurity turns out to be an important contributor to inequality of opportunity. And that insecurity can persist for quite some time after a conflict has ended. All of the results that we have from the DRC about mortality isn't about people being killed by violence, but it's about inequality of access to health centers, being able to get your child to a health center because you simply cannot do it because of the insecurity. So I would encourage you to have a look at breaking down this region variable. There's going to be data out there. ACLID has a data set which, at the subnational level, pinpoints conflict events. This might be a very useful source to be able to get a much finer-grained analysis on what's going on at the sub-regional level.
Okay.
Yes.
Just a clarification question. So you mentioned about the clean group inequality, because that sort of gives you an idea of inequality of opportunity. But could you just share what sort of within group inequalities did you get in your analysis? Because generally it is seen that within group inequalities are much larger than between group inequalities, and at least in most of the work that I have seen till now.
Between group inequality is larger than within, or?
Yeah, between group inequality ends up being larger than within group inequality, and within ends up being larger than between, and
yes.
Most of the research of inequality of opportunity, of course, it's centered on between group inequality,
yes.
But like nobody talks about why there is so much of inequality within groups. I wanted to know what sort of results you got for within
group. No, it's not within, it's between group inequality.
Yeah, I understand that. But I was just wondering if you could share. So was it larger than between group inequality?
For me here, I'm focusing on between group inequality. But within group is a part of the measurement. Because the total inequality is including within and between group inequality. So one measurement like residual, for example, it eliminates within. So you have to, because within within inequality plus between inequality should equal one. Okay, this according to mathematics stuff, so equal one. So when we subtract, for example, 1 minus within inequality, this will give you between group. This is the residual, okay? And the other one is the direct. Just you find this between group inequality and divided it by the total inequality. But maybe we can share you more, yeah, this idea.
I think very interesting. Just a few notes. For example, regarding the motivation, no? For me, somehow it's shocking when I hear inequality of opportunity for kids, no? Because we think, well, what they can be responsible for. No? You cannot say that kid, 4 years old, you are lazy and then you deserve. I mean, all for, as you said in one point, no? I think all inequality that you find among kids, for the kids at least, is inequality of opportunity. Maybe not for the parents, or but for the kids clearly is inequality of opportunity. And so, in that sense, I would be careful with the interpretation of bringing inequality of opportunity for income, that it's controversial, no? In that sense, and I think I like in general interpretation that what you find is just a lower bound of what is really inequality of opportunity. In any case, basically you are identifying the contribution of different circumstances. No, not implying necessarily that the rest of inequality is justifiable, because I think that's a little bit more controversial. But when you bring that for kids, I think it's even you have to be more careful, no, in that sense, that not implying that the rest of inequality can be justified in any way, because for kids there should be no inequality.
I refuse to eat their breakfast.
Sorry?
They want to be handed.
Well, maybe some parents here think differently.
Oh, now you're getting controversial.
Basically, my interpretation is that your receiver here is other circumstances that you are not controlling for, including maybe genetics, or maybe luck, if you consider that a circumstance. But not really effort. No? And maybe that should be a little bit clearer. Yeah, a second note also is the type of outcome that you are looking at here is bounded. No? So it's not like income, that one rich person can get richer indefinitely. No? Here there is like some bound. So, and I think that bound should be taken into account when you look at differences, for example, by region, no? I mean, or in general, you should probably analyze both inequality and the level of the variables, differences across groups,
yes.
Because the higher is the value of the outcome,
the lower is inequality almost by construction here, because since you have a upper an upper bound, as your level gets higher, the range of possible values is getting smaller, right? And that's a characteristic of a bounded variable. So it's not surprising that those with higher levels will have lower inequality in general. No?
Yes.
So, and I think maybe it's useful to consider at the same time both the level differences in levels and differences in inequality. No? And because the most interesting cases probably are those with that having similar level, you find different levels of inequality. And basically, but another thing regarding the index, for example, is that I think your results are with the value for with alpha equal 1. I think that alpha equals 0 is a better index of inequality, in my view. Maybe it's in the literature of inequality of opportunity they use more the value 1. Because the value 0, you don't have this path in the path dependence,
yes.
So you will get the same result whether you construct between group inequality as a residual or directly. So you should get the same result, at least in the traditional additive decomposition.
Now this is based on G1, this result.
Yeah, yeah, in G1
you
have that problem.
Yes.
But are you saying that, are you take as a reference the G0?
G0. So already I measured G0 and G2.
Yeah.
But here I presented G1,
yeah.
Because G0 and G2, they have the same trend. They have the same trend. So this is why I present G1 here. Already available in my, you know, my estimation.
Yeah, thank you, thank you for the presentation. I think it was good to give us a general picture of the child nutrition in Sudan. And given the country has been affected by different conflicts in different regions. I think come back to what Omar said. We need to go a little bit deeper to give a clear message. For instance, in your parametric estimation, if it happens that you have maybe district fixed effect, if in your data they have that, that would help. Or you can go a little bit deeper to define different dummies of those regions, those districts where you know they have been in conflict. And this will probably change the result, because as he mentioned, we expect the regions which have which had some conflicts to have a big trend of underdevelopment, where you may find after 5 years then you have this malnutrition still persisting. So it will be better to define these dummies at those district levels where you know they have this conflict, and for sure the result will change. And you have this probably the ethnicity fixed effect, because we know have these ethnic problems, maybe Darfur or whatever. If that happens, you have different ethnic groups in the country, then that can be also a source of variations across the malnutrition. And I didn't understand the advantage of having this standardized Z score and the one which is used. I didn't see the differences, although they were a little bit variation across the coefficients, but why to present both?
Okay, thank you. Back to the comments of Omar and you regarding the conflict and violence. Yes, there is violence and conflict in some regions, but unfortunately there are no data on mix, okay, to measure this across households, or maybe just we can use like dummy variable for regions. It can be. But now we can go further by, you know, dividing regions, okay, so looking at each region.
In the data,
yes.
The region is the lowest administrative area they give in the data.
Yes.
Below region, there is no any other administrative, like district or something.
No, there are no you know, below level of state. There is state. These data, these regions are grouped. We have like 18 states.
Yes.
So I group these states into 6 regions.
Yes.
Because this
then
is the well-known regions in the country.
States fixed effect. Because this, there is a lot of variation inside there.
Yes.
That's what you are saying. That would probably change your coefficients.
Okay, this can be manageable. We can look it more.
Yeah.
Okay. Regarding to standardized, because standardized is very important in order to measure, compare between gender and age, so it should be standardized, particularly in height and weight. And this is also done by, you know, by WHO, the major Z score. But when we go further, we need this standardized in order to measure these outcomes, because the inequality also can change if I am not cannot standardize it. This is a problem. So this is a practice.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I can also add some comment following up on this comment. So this issue about the regions. For example, you show a nice graph on the contribution of circumstances for health rate and for white grant. So how much?
For regions?
And that was not done by for by
no, not done for
the,
yeah.
The total, and the,
yes,
like
sure.
53% was accounted for only the regional factor. So probably doing this type of exercise, but by region,
by region,
to give you some idea on how like these different type of circumstances contribute in each region.
Okay, this is easier. Can be done. Yes.
And then for
yes.
this standardization of the height and weight part. So you do a two-stage kind of a standardization. So you first take height and weight from the data, and then you compute with the WHO the standard deviation.
Yes.
And then
yes.
You take this as the zeta score, and then you convert them to the 24.
Exactly. Yes.
So widen these two passages, it would be maybe easier and like even like more easy to interpret at the end. Like to just translate from height and weight and then convert and then make it standardized using the 24 month old girl. Because this way you first convert the height, which is in centimeter, with the WHO, the data as a reference, basically a sample of worldwide children from many countries of the world.
Yes.
You get the zeta score and then you convert this into something else. So probably like doing just one stage where you directly convert it to your final terms of reference is kind of hard.
Yes.
Also then interpreting the variable itself.
Yes, this is what I did. That's we convert it from, you know, from the actual to standardize it using this Z score of 24 months of female.
But then you convert the zeta score into this.
Yes.
Okay, but then my suggestion would be just to standardize from the very beginning height and weight without, you know, going through the passage of WHO, because in any case then you are not going to use any more the zeta score based on the WHO or terms of references.
Because, you know, the practice in literature, this is standardized, because this standardized is used because there is a reference. This is the reference table, so distribution is well known. So in order to compare with other, in order to see this is our healthy for all population, so it should be standardized.
Yeah, so that's basically also my point. It
yes.
should be standardized, but
yes.
the first stage is standardized with respect to this WHO.
Yes.
And then
yes.
you standardize this standardized measure with respect to the 24 month. The
female, yeah, 24 months. Yes.
From the sample or not from
from the sample, yes.
From the WHO.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So
you can see
that.
Okay, so I think we can close.
Okay. Thank you.